Okay, good morning. We're back on the record. Kitsap County Hearing Examiner looking now at the application from the Central Kitsap School District for a transportation center conditional use permit. Mr. Smith, if you return to the podium, you are the planner for the county that reviewed this application and have prepared a staff report, copies available in the back of the room. I want to find out who else is here. How many here are affiliated with the applicant? There's a bunch of you. Good, lots of support. And then are there others here that wanted to comment on this application? Okay, we do have several people here that wanted to present comment. So, Mr. Smith, it's 11:30, and they've been waiting to make comment. I didn't realize there was that level of public interest. I don't think we have in the file any letters. Did you receive any?
No.
So, out of deference for those waiting to testify, we might truncate or briefly present and come back to it if we need to. But if you could do an overview. I'm assuming, has everyone seen the staff report, seen a copy of Mr. Smith's recommendation? They have. So maybe you can touch on the highlights. I'm assuming you have a PowerPoint presentation.
Yes.
Okay. Would that be agreeable to you to do it a little more quickly?
Yes.
Because I think we'll bring you back up after we get public comment.
That's fine. Okay. I think that's a good idea. Okay.
So, in fact, maybe we could just do that. You might want to, do you want to give a summary, though, of what we're looking
at? Yeah. There's a couple housekeeping things I'd like to take care of, including the exhibits into the record, 1 through 27.
Yes, and I'm going to ask you about one. I think you call it a photometric map.
Yes.
And I didn't have an exhibit number for that, but was it your intent to have this part of the Exhibit 9?
It was one of the special reports, yes.
Then we'll mark it as Exhibit 9F and include it in the record.
And so the next one would be the PowerPoint presentation. Would be, I believe, 28.
Mm-hmm.
And the next one is we received a letter from the Kitsap Public Health District on the date the staff report was issued. It was to address issues related to the site development activity permit that was recently submitted. However, they did reference this, the conditional use permit file number on the face of the letter, but it's more appropriate that it be reviewed at the time of, or with our SDA, site development activity permit. But I want to include it into record just for if there's any questions.
Okay.
That we did look at it, it was included.
All right, Exhibit 29.
Yes. And the applicant hasn't seen this yet, so.
You have a copy for the applicant? Thank you.
Okay. My name is Jeff Smith. I'm representing the Department of Community Development, senior planner, over 20 years of planning experience. This project today is for a conditional use permit to consolidate the transportation, food service, and warehouse facility located in Central Kitsap. It's the Kitsap Junior High School campus. It's located on Frontier Road. To co-locate at the existing district maintenance building at 9102 Dickey Road Northwest. The improvements include about 14 acres of the 39-acre site, which is owned by the Central Kitsap School District. The project will include a 32,000 square foot building to serve as the food service, warehouse, transportation administration, and transportation maintenance facility with off-street parking for 102 buses.
Yeah. I want to ask you right up front, because this is the same site I think we looked at late last year.
It's
for an off-street parking facility?
Yeah, it's adjacent to, yes.
Okay. So My question is of concern more with the analysis of environmental impacts and whether you're aware of other proposals that might come forward dealing with this property. Because I'm mindful under the State Environmental Policy Act, there's a number of cases that have been decided under that act to avoid what might be called piecemealing. Are you familiar with that
Yes.
term?
Yes.
And here, you know, we have almost immediately after we reviewed one proposal for parking, now a second proposal that impacts the same area. Did you discuss this with the applicant? We can bring the applicant forward if you don't know, but are
yes,
there other projects that might be
no,
come forward?
This is it. The applicant discussed this with us, with staff, and staff determined what we could do is do it through a phase SEPA review.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Heacock is here if you want to ask him questions. But we did it. We approached this application as part of the original SEPA review that was done on the parking lot.
So this proposal was considered as part of the initial SEPA checklist?
I believe it was discussed, but not in depth. It was part of the overall scope that we described in the original SEPA determination that this was forthcoming. And then based on the MD&S that we issued today, it was to address impacts associated with this bus barn facility, so to speak.
Okay, and the MD&S was not appealed, I take it?
No. And there has been some discussion. There's the bridge, the two phases, we call it 1B, for the off-street parking facility. It is addressed in the staff report and also in the SEPA determination.
Okay. Well, I'm not here to raise problems. We'll see if any citizen comment relates to environmental review. But the fact that there was no appeal forecloses challenges to the environmental review. But I'll just say I would be very concerned about the phrase you used of phased environmental review. I don't think that's an acceptable concept when we approach disclosure of environmental impacts. The real thrust of the State Environmental Policy Act is to look at cumulative impacts, not to try to disaggregate and say, oh, we're looking at impacts as phased impacts. That, I think, defeats the entire purpose. As you probably know, the State Environmental Policy Act is something I'm very familiar with
Yes.
and have spent a lot of my career working to make sure that's implemented properly, as the state legislature told us way back in 1971, to help ensure that there is a healthful environment for everyone and that environmental impacts are considered and mitigated where possible. And to split it and say we're doing phased review, although it's not been challenged, and I'm not here to challenge it, I just want to express caution in doing that because there may be a challenge to that with someone familiar with that law. You did that here. It's done. It hasn't been challenged. We don't need to spend more time on it today. But when I saw this one, recognizing that we saw the same area at the end of last year, that's of concern. We don't have environmental review of the entire proposed development.
Mm-hmm.
That's my statement.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'd say a mitigating circumstance would be that when the school district made application for the off-street parking area for the elementary school, a lot of the details were not established or the impacts quantified at that time for this portion mm-hmm. of the development. That's why we had to come back again and do further analysis based on specific use, because they had to go through design stage and look at the needs of the school district. And then that's when a proposal came together that to provide additional information for they can so we quantify impacts. I guess that's the only way I'd address
no,
that.
No, certainly should have the opportunity to explain why it happened the way it did. And again, I'm not making an issue out of it. I think we've discussed
sure.
it enough, and
okay.
we should move forward with the hearing.
Okay. The facility will operate Monday through Friday and it will be 5 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. and it'll include 126 employees. The proposal requires a conditional use permit based on the use table in Title 17382. As we discussed earlier, that there was an MDNS issued by the responsible SIBO official. There is a clarification that we'd like to make on the numbers. There's two numbers that have been listed, 14.7, and then there's 14.07 for the proportionate share that the school district will be responsible for. The real number is 14.07. So that's a mistake on our part.
What's the number reference?
It's a proportionate share to contribute to the intersection improvements. It is kind of it was an odd number. I believe that's why we thought that might have been a typo.
Mm-hmm.
The subject property is located at 9102 Dickey Road, Northwest, in Central Kitsap County. It's located west of Silverdale and Highway 3, and to the west of the site is what we call the Dickey Pit. This aerial telemetry shows the existing maintenance building and the elementary school. This must be maybe 2009 telemetry, I'm guessing. But as you can see, there's a significant amount of existing vegetation around the maintenance building. A significant amount of that will be retained with this proposal. With 50 feet around this property line, there'll be up to 300 feet of timber and vegetation retained in this particular area on the east side of the development. The property is fairly level, except adjacent to Dickey Road, there's some steep slopes. The site does fall in what we call a CARA 1 or a Category 1. It's an aquifer recharge area of high significance. It's a 1 to 5 year travel zone. The applicant did prepare a geohydrological report and discussed mitigation and included a spill response plan. This is another shot a little closer showing the vegetation and the adjacent residential homes to the property. Directly across the street is the Humane Society and other offices. They would not be directly impacted by just the general hours of operation that's occurring on the site. This is a colored site plan showing the maintenance operation building to the south of the new 32,000 square foot building, and south of that is the elementary school. So it includes parking for 102 buses, and includes a fueling and bus wash on the south side of this area, parking area. And includes off-street parking for employees and the general public that will be using this facility. The proposed storm drainage basin is being located towards the north property line. As I said earlier, there's approximately a 50-foot setback buffer along the north property line. The applicant is proposing to augment the vegetation with evergreen trees in six places, 10 feet on center. And one of the other important things that I need to bring up is that the applicant is proposing a sound wall approximately 800 feet long, and it's going to range from 8 feet to 12 feet in height. based on an analysis through a noise study. And that will also address line of sight or light as well as noise, if there's any excessive glare. As you saw the photometric map, there was it did show it didn't leave more than one candle foot beyond the property line. Here's an enlarged, talks about the driveway, and it talks about the noise barrier right here. And let me go through this. And this shows the floor plan of the building. There was a schematic floor plan that was submitted at the beginning of this process. And here's a picture of the location of the noise wall. And the traffic circulation would be including Newberry Hill, traveling on Dickey Road north and to the facility. The buses will leave the site, traveling north most, and then making right-hand turn movements through this sub area. Well, the proportionate share will involve the construction of a traffic signal at this intersection. And that's the Reader's Digest version.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Smith. I do want to get to public testimony, and we'll rely upon you to respond to any questions or comments that we receive. So I'm going to go through the list of those that signed up and see who's here that wants to present testimony, and then we'll allow the applicant's representative and the county to respond. So I have a Thomas Allen. Do you want to come forward, sir? And followed by Labert Schaefer. Good morning, sir. Take the oath, please. You swear to tell truth in testimony you give today.
Yes.
Thank you.
I have a couple of questions on this here.
Okay.
Now. And I just brought up another one here, the map of the road.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot the Cascade Street one. Going to get a lot of traffic coming up. That's my biggest one there.
Cascade Street?
Cascade Street. Well, Cascade Terrace. We're right adjacent to the school there.
Oh, does it show on this map?
I can't find it on there.
I see. That's the concern. Where is it on the map?
Well, it's a lie. I did find it on one of them. In fact, they had it on theirs, too.
Okay, and Mr. Smith's going to try to find the map that might show it.
Okay, Cascade Street right there.
Comes in like this and then around like that.
Well, that Cascade Street comes up and it goes down out to Dickey Road.
Okay.
And when the public sphere was up there working on the road before, we had more traffic going down that road than anything. And now people know that's a shortcut from up there where they're at, and they go down through it too. That's a concern to me there. The other concern is our drain field. It's located on that, I guess, being that 086 point. I don't know.
That's like maybe a parcel number. Is that your property there?
No, my property's on the other side of the street.
Okay.
But we have a drain field for 10 houses that area.
Okay.
And I'd be worrying about what's happening with the runoff and everything like that. Even though they say it in here that they're going to build a barrier or something.
Well, the barrier he discussed was with sound barrier. So your concern is?
Now the runoff.
Runoff.
Yeah, where's it running to?
I know it says
they got a collection thing in here. I did read that.
So we need to find out more information on the concern about traffic on Cascade.
Are
you seeing an increase? And your fear is that this project will make that worse.
Oh, it will. But the Let's start using a Cascade Street. Mm-hmm. You find a shortcut, hey, you're going to take it.
Yeah.
Even if it's through a housing development area.
Okay. Well, let's see if we can get some answers to those concerns. Anything else that you want to bring up?
I guess the biggest one. What's wrong with the other bus barn they got?
Hmm.
That's one of my biggest ones. What's wrong with it?
Okay.
Why am I having to spend money to have to put that in?
Okay. Thank you, sir. Okay, Ms. Schaefer, Roberta Schaefer, and then is there Bruce Perry? Want to follow Ms. Schaefer? No? Okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
And do you swear to tell truth and testimony you give?
I do, sir.
Thank you. And I'm sorry, I probably messed up your first name. What is that?
It's Roberta.
Roberta. Thank you. So,
okay. Is that good?
I can hear you very well.
Okay.
And I can see you too, so that's good. And you've heard the staff report and you're familiar with mm-hmm. this area.
Yeah.
So what are your comments?
The gentleman was just up here. He was talking about his drain field. Mm-hmm. His drain field is directly behind my house, too.
Okay.
Of all those other neighbors on the other side of the street, that's their drain field.
Mm-hmm.
And it's directly behind my house. And then they're going to build that wall back there. And by what the gentleman said when he was up here talking, it sounds like that big area that they're building, their drain field is going to be there, too.
So the concern is an overflow into that area?
Yeah, my backyard is right there. And I have a septic, and everybody else down that street has a septic.
Okay. Well, we need to find out more about that.
And you know what? 105 buses starting in the morning right behind my house, all that pollution in the air, and in the neighborhood in downtown Silverdale. Was it going to be a big cloud of smoke above, like New York City? I used to live there.
Hmm.
Is it going to be that foul? And then I'm going to hear it every morning. All these buses start early in the morning. The whole neighborhood.
Right. And there was a report done on that, and I reviewed it. I wonder if you had a chance to see the noise report that the school district did.
No, I didn't.
That's unfortunate. Were you contacted at all by anyone from the school district about the proposal, given a chance to learn more about it?
No, I wasn't.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're here today because we need to find out more about that. And I regret that there wasn't an opportunity for you to learn more about it mm-hmm. before today. But those are legitimate concerns, is the noise and the stormwater and septic drainage.
And the pollution in the air.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
For the whole neighborhood. There's all kinds of, it's a big community with families and everything. And this is what they're going to hear every morning, and the traffic.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for being here. Okay, the next individual signed up are both named Dennis. I have a Dennis Koblin. You want to speak today, sir? Okay. And Dennis, I'm sorry, your last name?
No, I don't need to speak today.
No speaking, okay. So Dennis Koblin, if you want to come forward, and then Brenda Kingsbury, and final name I have is Robin Shoemaker.
Hi.
Good morning. Raise your right hand. Do you swear to tell truth and testimony you give today?
I do.
Thank you.
I hope I'm not redundant on some of these.
And do you live nearby this proposal?
I live, my property abuts the school district property.
Okay.
I'm just on the drain field property.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the diamond shaped one on the end of that.
I can see it. Okay. Thank you. And what are your concerns or questions?
Well, my concern, several concerns. I'm sorry. How's that?
That's better.
The first concern is buffering along the north border. The from what I can tell, the information that I have is that what will happen along that border, first of all, there's a driveway on the west end of that, and then retention ponds on the east side, and a 50-foot buffer of what they say is natural vegetation.
Mm-hmm.
My concern is that that vegetation is going to go away because there's going to have to be some grading along there with those ponds, and we'll lose all of the height and the density of that strip of land.
Okay.
That could shield a whole lot of the other concerns that I have and others in the neighborhood have. There's some confusion on my part about the where the sound walls will be. In the staff report, there's a reference to those sound wall. One's along the driveway on the west side of the property. The other is said it's on the property line in one sentence, and the next sentence it says it's next to the bus parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know where that's going to be. If it's on the property line, I'm really concerned that I'm going to have a 12-foot wall, cement wall or whatever it's made out of along that line.
Mm-hmm.
Just another comment about that is that there's also in the development of this, I've kind of seen a couple of the plans and how they've changed. There was originally a 200-foot buffer for people on the east side of the property, and now that's changed to 300. So there's lots of space, I would think, that they could move those ponds around or actually move the bus parking in order to provide some shield for us along that, along our north property line.
Okay.
Another concern is, of course, the noise level. I did see, I don't know if I saw the report, I saw some of the results of the decibels in that report.
Mm-hmm.
My concern is that was decibels from buses, it seemed to me, as much as I could understand, didn't include delivery trucks that will be coming to supply the food service area, and then all of the staff cars with 126 employees coming in and out of there.
Mm-hmm. Looking at the total impact of the not only the traffic but the noise from that,
right?
And
then on related to that would be any particulate that is put in the air by the buses. Some new studies I just saw in the paper yesterday about particulate causing more cancers than they suspected. So that's a concern.
Mm-hmm.
Lighting the parking lot for the buses is also a concern, even though you say that it can be shielded. My experience is when I'm across the street or even a couple of blocks away from a Walmart, I can still see light, and it's light there, whether it spills onto my property or not.
What's the situation now? Is there any light in the area?
Not on that
street
side.
Lights.
There are street lights on Cascade. Few streetlights, not many.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then I guess the other thing that I wanted to add would be, again, on Cascade, there wasn't any study about traffic in there.
Yeah.
And I agree with my neighbor there that as soon as school is in session, as soon as there's that much traffic, 126 employees, there's going to be people traveling through there, and they speed through there, especially on the top part that you can see on the map.
Okay.
I would just want to refer to the urban growth area, that one of the goals in that is that it make the neighborhood's a more desirable place to live, and I don't know if this actually does that, especially for us on the north side.
Mm-hmm.
I would just like to see us have an equal amount of shielding that the other neighbors abutting the property have.
Okay. Makes sense. Good. Thank you. Thank you for your comments. And we'll get responses to those. Two other people that wanted to present or may want to present comment, Brenda Kingsbury, and then Robin Shoemaker. Good morning. Please take the oath by raising your right hand. Do you swear to tell truth in testimony you give?
I do.
Thank you.
My name is Brenda Kingsbury. My home abuts the septic reserve, so I'm directly looking at the trees that they're going to impact. I have nothing new to add. I'm very concerned about traffic, not only on Cascade, but Dickey Road, because you got 126 coming in and you got 100 buses going out. It's mm-hmm. going to be a huge change to how we live. I'm concerned about the noise, and I'm very concerned about stormwater. We had a wet winter, and I had water standing in my yard for several weeks. So that's all I have to say.
About the water in the yard? Can you tell where it's flowing from?
The school district property is uphill from me.
Mm-hmm.
It runs down.
Okay.
Also, the kids have a pretty good trail through the woods there, and I'm a little bit concerned about what's going to happen with where they walk. So if there's a sound barrier wall, they're going to be out on Dickey Road. And there's not a lot of shoulder.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Robin Shoemaker, want to provide? Well, I guess you're up then. Or whoever is your representative. We've heard from the public testimony. And again, there weren't written comments, but it is certainly appropriate and indicates that there's some need for responses from school district. What's the pointing about? Someone else present that wanted to speak? Certainly, yes, please come forward. I took the names off a sign-up sheet, but I'm sure not all were aware of a sign-up sheet. Okay, so please take the oath first. You swear to tell truth in testimony you give.
I do.
And your name, please.
I'm Matthew Hoey.
How's the last name spell?
H-O-E-Y.
Okay.
And I'm an employee of the Kitsap Humane Society across the street.
An employee of where?
The Kitsap Humane Society.
Okay, thank you. So you don't live in the area, but you're there every day, every work day?
Yes, and we just had a couple of questions as far as from the shelter standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mainly in regards to traffic, the first being, I know there was mentioned previously that the study indicated that there would be no effect to the Humane Society, but with the large traffic times being, I believe was mentioned approximately 5 to 6 p.m. from what I understand of the staff report, that is definitely an operating hour for the shelter, and when we are having traffic back and forth from there, so how that would affect us with that large traffic pass by.
Where exactly is the shelter?
Directly across the street from the proposed building area. It's the 008 section you can see on the left-hand side of that picture.
Okay.
And the other question regards to traffic I had was for the proposed changes that will be to the street as far as the addition of the sidewalks. And I know with a proposed, I believe it was mentioned with a 32,000 size facility, there wasn't the completed, at least my understanding from the staff report, analysis of whether or not piping size would have to be increased to accommodate a sprinkler system added to the building, which I believe the water piping does run right along that road, and how that construction would affect the ability to get to and from the Kitsap Humane Society during that period, if the road would be completely needed to be shut down, if it would greatly affect both customers, adopters, and our animal control staff and volunteers to be able to reach the shelter during this time.
What hours does the shelter operate?
Volunteers come in at 7 a.m. To start dog walking. It's usually approximately 5 to 10 personnel. Most staff start showing up around 9 a.m. Our operating hours are noon to 5:30. Most days, 6:30 on Thursdays. We occasionally do extended operating hours for large adoption events. And then animal control also operates usually around 9 a.m. to approximately 5:30 p.m. Unless they have a, they are also, we have duty officers every night who are on call and may have to come back to the shelter if there's a required pickup.
So the primary concern, Humane Society, is the traffic impact on your operations.
Yes.
And particularly during the p.m. peak hour, where it appears that there might be a direct conflict with traffic coming to your facility as well as buses returning to this proposed parking facility.
Yes, that and the potential construction on the street and how that would affect us.
And construction period. Okay. Yes. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Testimony. Did we have one other individual? And I'll ask that you take the oath. Once you're there, please raise your right hand. Do you swear to tell truth in testimony you give?
I do.
Thank you. And your name, please.
My name is Ann Erickson. I am the owner of a duplex right across the street from the little Newt Anderson Road that joins Dickey Road,
mm-hmm.
Dickey Place. And I have actually one person who works for the court system living in one of my units, and she works at home. And the other one is a businessman with business all over the United States who counts on his own home office to do his business. I'm very concerned. We already have big trucks speeding up and down Dickey Road where we hear the braking systems on the big ones are like Jake brakes, etc. And I'm familiar with that because my dad was a mover. So I know about those big trucks and their brakes. And I don't want to lose good residents because of the noise, additional traffic. And what if, now the county has never built a railing along Dickey Road and my property is below the road. Mm-hmm. So what if one of those big trucks or a car goes off that bank? What chance do my tenants have of being alive after that happens?
Mm-hmm.
I'm very concerned about this whole project. I think that it hasn't been talked enough about. It hasn't been reviewed enough about the total impact to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never been a slum landlord. I continue to do good things. I've been a lifetime real estate agent, but I am stuck with the fact that all my investments were in West Sound Bank, and you know what happened to that. So that the duplex is what I have left. Okay. So I'm going to protect it. I have to.
And so you're here as a property owner in the area that's concerned about negative impacts from traffic and just from the general operational
traffic, noise, just everything in general. And I asked the county to give me sewer. They put it in at the school, but they won't give me sewer. You know, it's like I'm a second-class citizen. Mm-hmm. I'm right across the street from sewer. At least when I wanted natural gas, sir, I paid the gas company to run it from the middle of that intersection. I paid for it myself, mm-hmm. so that my duplex could have natural gas.
Mm-hmm.
But the county won't even let me pay for sewer.
Okay, well, let's find out from the school district more what's being proposed to see what the impacts can be.
But I do, I'm really concerned. I've got wonderful people, and I love the area. I loved building that. I built three duplexes there and sold two of them. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to continue to see that be a nice family area, okay. where my kids used to walk across the street to go to the school there, and I've even rented the teachers from that school.
Okay. So you're here as a longstanding property owner in the area? And
yes.
Want to make sure the area retains its good qualities.
Built the three of them in 1985, so I've been there a long time.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you for being here today. All right, now I think we've heard public testimony and a number of questions and comments were made about the proposed facility. There's a number of representatives here on behalf of the applicant. And who's going to take the lead then? Will it be you coming forward?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Are there others on your team that you expect to call on?
Yes, we brought a traffic engineer, civil engineer, and then representatives from the district. So I'll just start off, but
hold on for a minute. Make sure we're operating here properly, and I'll ask that those that are here on behalf of the applicant, please stand if you're going to testify, and I want to administer the oath at one time. And if each of you please raise your hand, if each of you swear or affirm to tell truth and testimony you give today, if so, please say, I do.
I do.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. And your name, please.
Yeah. My name is Lisa Klein. I'm a land planner working on behalf of the school district.
You're a consultant, too?
I am a consultant, yes.
And your expertise is what area? Land use
land planning.
Land planning.
Mm-hmm. I just want to start this presentation.
And what are you preparing to present?
I have a PowerPoint presentation. I have copies for the...
And how many slides do you have?
You know, it's only 7 slides, and actually, Jeff went through so much the same thing, so it would be very quick. I thought that it was good to hear from the neighbors to help us kind of reorient what we were going to say. And so there were just a few key points that I was going to make, but first, the big question of why and why the site. And Robin Shoemaker from the district will speak to that.
So my name is Robin Shoemaker, and I'm the Director of Capital Projects for the Central Kitsap School District. I have been at the school district about 5 years. And when I first came to the school district in 2011, the Consolidated Transportation Food Service Warehouse Facility was one of the projects, of one of the major projects that was approved as part of the capital project levy by the voters in 2011. And the intent was that this facility would be located at the time in 2011, a site had not been selected. There were sites under consideration, this being one of them, but a final site had not been selected in 2011. But the intent for the project was to consolidate our transportation and food service and warehouse facilities in one facility. Currently, they are both located off of Frontier Place and Anderson Hill Road, and there is a slide that Jeff showed earlier that showed the current location of those facilities. The transportation facility is undersized for optimal performance of the transportation group. They don't have training space and other meeting areas to house their staff appropriately. Additionally, the parking that is there is not as safe as would be ideal for bus drivers to be using the equipment. So the intent was to improve their facility and at the same time co-locate with Food Service Warehouse. And so as the 2011 capital project levy was being implemented, we started to look at site locations where this would be housed. There were 5 sites looked at, and in the end, this site that the school district already owned was selected because of a few reasons. One was it gave the best cost to the taxpayer because there wasn't additional added cost to the site. But the other one, and importantly, was the consolidation of the operational units of the school district. So that's the history on how this site came to be selected. And to respond to the question as to why the other facilities were not adequate that one of the speakers today mentioned.
Thank you.
Okay.
Lisa Klein has returned to the podium.
To fast forward here a little bit more to This was the zoning map Jeff had wanted to have on his screen. It just shows you that this site is located in the urban low residential. It is surrounded to the north, the east, and the south, also by urban low residential zoning. And then adjacent to the west is industrial zone property. Sorry, it's a little slow. There we go. The aerial. You saw this earlier. Jeff had this up on screen. But this is really great to show the existing vegetation that exists around the property. As you can see from the site plan, the facilities, the new facilities, are located in the center of the property, and this was done for a couple of reasons. Primarily, one was to centralize the activities such that we could still provide the buffer to the east and to the north. It's important to note that some of the operational details, the access to the property from the buses will come primarily from the south with a right turn into the existing driveway that you see in the center of the property. The buses will then continue heading east towards the wash and the fueling area. They will then park in the bus parking area. The bus parking area has been strategically designed so that it will minimize idling and stacking of buses. It's an easy in and an easy out configuration. When they leave the site, they will leave by traveling north to the northerly driveway. Most of the buses will then take a right turn, an easy right turn, out of that north driveway. One of the comments that was, there was some concern about emissions. There are some operational requirements that the bus drivers have, which is that there can be no more than at one time 7 buses idling at any one time. And any one bus cannot idle for any more than 3 minutes.
How would you enforce that? Do you have someone on site that's counting the number of buses? How does that work operationally? And do you do that now? Robin Shoemaker. Are you going to be kind of bouncing back and forth? Okay, what happens now?
To my knowledge, they are using that currently, and they are enforcing it. It is part of their training, and I know that they have both a director and assistant director of transportation, as well as a maintenance shop supervisor that assist with managing operational requirements such as that. I haven't personally experienced it, so I can't.
You've never observed that happening?
I have not.
You're the director of facilities, is that?
Capital projects.
Capital facilities.
Yes, right.
Is there someone else that would oversee the bus operations?
Correct. The director of transportation and the assistant director.
Is that person here today?
They are not.
Uh-huh. And is you say they, referring they, the bus drivers, that they have this, that they do it?
Is the bus drivers are trained in these practices and would be required to.
Required. Are they school district employees?
They are school district employees.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so the individual in charge of them is not here today, but.
Correct.
Your understanding is that they, meaning the bus drivers themselves, sort of self-police, that there's 7 already idling, so no, you can't start yours yet?
There is some self-policing that occurs, but it is reinforced on an ongoing basis by in kind of other practices on bus operation by the administration of transportation.
And is this in some kind of operational manual that a bus driver receives?
I would assume it is.
Do you have that available for us?
I do not have it available.
Could you make it available?
I could make it available, certainly.
Because I'm having trouble following. Only 7 can idle at one time. Is that your testimony?
Lisa referred to that as part of the requirements.
Right. That was part of the in the transportation study.
But I'm getting more confused. That's in the I saw it in the study. Mm-hmm. But I thought I heard something else, that that's the current operational characteristic for bus drivers.
I'm assuming that it is, because we do follow practice that is required by transportation policy that is for school districts. I cannot personally attest to that because I'm not at the facility.
Okay. So is it a transportation policy from SPI? Where do these come from?
I don't know where they come from.
Do we have access to these transportation policies?
We do.
Are they online, accessible?
I would assume so. We'll have to confirm all this for you. We don't have them immediately available.
If you'd like, we could keep the record open and we could provide that additional information.
It's an option we have. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've heard a lot of comment on the bus noise and operations and pollution characteristics. And I want to make sure if we continue the hearing and get testimony, if we don't have the individuals here that can respond to that, we need to find another way to get responses. And I want to give you the full opportunity to respond. Because that, as a conditional use permit, we're looking at what are the possible negative impacts on surrounding properties and how they might be mitigated.
Certainly.
And, you know, you, like me, are probably surprised today. I did not expect public comment because normally there'd be phone calls or letters and the county would have some sense that there's neighborhood concern. But in deference to those individuals, they took time out of their day to be here.
Sure.
And that, to me, says it is a serious concern. And this is one of them, just the operational characteristics of the facility that you're proposing. So we will need that type of information. It's difficult for me as a fact finder that's putting findings of fact in a decision. I need to reference specific testimony or exhibits that support that finding. And you can see the challenge. If I say, well, only 7 buses will idle at one time, but we're not quite sure where that comes from. And if I could see it in a policy and have a memo that says this is how we enforce it, then I have more confidence that that's going to be true. And I know it was in that study, and that was curious to me, why that number? And your belief, I think, Robin, is that, well, it comes from a policy. That's why they didn't pick it out of the air.
Right.
But they may have. So we need to know. So that is essential, and if there's no one to testify to that here, yes, let's move to maybe another issue, and we'll have to either leave the record open or return to another hearing date to get that information.
Understood.
Okay, thank you for your understanding. Are there other issues that you heard today that you might be able to respond to? For example, the noise wall came up, and maybe you can...
Yeah, I'll go ahead and respond to that one. So the site plan that's on the screen right now is an updated site plan from the one that Mr. Smith was showing earlier, in that it shows the location of the sound wall. There's a black dashed line showing north of the northerly driveway. It ends at a certain point, and that particular section is the 8-foot tall section. And then there is another dashed line just south of the detention pond. And that is the 12-foot high section. That's about a 12-inch CMU block sound wall.
Okay, we're looking at page 5 of the PowerPoint that you prepared.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see you, looks like you have everything kind of listed on the left, mm-hmm. on the right-hand side of it. But is there more detail? Do we have a more detailed description of the sound wall? You just gave
that,
it a testimony.
Yeah, that's pretty much the description of the sound wall. I mean, what additional detail were you interested in?
Well, often there would be a site plan that would show what we have here is your testimony, mm-hmm. and then I'm looking at a dashed line.
Right.
And thank you for clarifying that's the sound wall. I didn't know that. But a site plan that might show exactly where it would be placed in the proposed height.
Yeah, it is also on the site plan that we submitted to the county.
Okay, let's look at that.
I'm afraid you'll never see it. If I were to pull up, it is so small, and that's why we had it put on that particular site plan. For example,
I think Mr. Smith had this up earlier, didn't he? The
yes.
site plan?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There is a call out on here that points to it. You can see if you look at the far north west corner, just above the proposed driveway.
And this is page 7 of your PowerPoint.
This is page 7, yes.
And by the way, that has been given exhibit number of exhibit 30. Okay, so I'm looking at that now.
Yes, and just at the north boundary of the property line, you see the call out there, noise barrier sound wall.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, it's really hard to see on the site plan. There's a lot going on the site plan. Yep.
So, and that's the best we have as to the location? Because it is hard.
It is hard to see, and that's why we put it on the color. I thought the color was actually a little bit better.
Right, but here again, and I don't expect you to be that familiar, but when I make a finding,
mm-hmm.
If I reference the site plan, you know, sound wall barrier, which is critical component mm-hmm. of your proposal, shall be located as depicted on the site plan.
Mm-hmm.
Like you say, it's kind of hard to see where that is, so it's hard to follow that up.
Yeah.
I appreciate that you put it on a colored one, but that too, it's hard for me to put that in a finding because that's not precise. So we're kind of caught between a rock and a hard place as to what to refer to. I wonder, in your experience as a land use consultant,
mm-hmm.
if there might be a way that we could just isolate the sound wall from the site plan. This is obviously composed of many layers.
Yeah.
And sometimes we call it a pullout where you can say, here's the sound wall
mm-hmm.
As depicted on the site plan, but we've removed all other distracting material and just show where that location is.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is that it also has a varying height and maybe even the materials vary. I don't know. But
no, the materials are the same. It's just the height that's different. The PowerPoint that Mr. Smith provided you had a more of a handwritten with a highlighter on it that showed you where the sound wall location was, and that might even be easier for you to see.
Right, and it's not just for my benefit. There are neighboring property owners here. Yeah, it looks like he does have that. He did depict that in a PowerPoint, but again, what I see is a line drawn mm-hmm. orange and then green,
mm-hmm.
but it is difficult for me to determine how far that's set back from the property line.
Mm-hmm.
You may have that information. I don't know. Do you have that? How far back from the property line?
And
that seems to vary.
It does vary. Yes, it does.
And then where the height is, where the height changes.
The two different colors on Mr. Smith's PowerPoint presentation there, the 8-foot height is one color, and the 12-foot height is another color.
Okay. Okay. Anything more you want to say about the sound wall?
A little bit more about the buffer, I guess. There will be some grading that will occur in the. There's currently a 50-foot separation between the north property line and where the improvements occur. There is a lot of existing vegetation, as you've seen from the aerial. Most of that will be retained, but we are required to provide a county code screen, which will require that we augment that vegetation. In addition, we're providing a 6-foot cedar fence that's right along the property line. So that was, I think, a key thing of note for the neighbors' interest to the north. There will be a cedar fence followed by both the existing and augmented vegetation within that 50-foot buffer. The western portion, as you move south, would then include the sound wall.
Vegetation that you're planting, new vegetation? Or
both existing vegetation, and we are mm-hmm. augmenting that with additional plantings per the code requirement.
Mm-hmm.
That's in the 10-foot area from the property line.
I see. And what about grading of the site? Would there be grading in that area along that?
There will be some grading in the area, primarily in the area of the infiltration basin.
And that's where vegetation would be removed and then mm-hmm. enhanced?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
So this particular graphic we'll come back to because the engineer is here and she can get more specific about drainage, what currently occurs and what we're proposing. If I could just go back. I think it's important to note one of the comments from the neighbors had to do with where the children were going to walk to the site currently. Some of them are passing through the property. The property will be fully fenced around its perimeter. But the project is also constructing sidewalks that are not there now. So all along the frontage of Dickey Road, there will be new curb, gutter, and sidewalk improvements that will extend down to Silverdale Elementary there, just to the south.
Does that show on what you have on the screen now? I'm having trouble seeing where that is. Or is that also on your site plan?
That's on the site plan.
Can you show that again?
Mm-hmm. This particular site plan is one that has more to do with the grading of the site, so I'm afraid it doesn't show the sidewalk. It was included with the project plans, though, that you have as part of your exhibits.
And I have a lot of exhibits. Could you reference which one that might be?
Exhibit 9 is the site plan. The first sheet is the cover site plan. I think it shows you most everything that's occurring on the site. And then sheet C5.0 shows you roadway profiles. The Dickey Road is the top section provided, number one, on sheet C5.0.
Mm-hmm. And that shows the 5-foot sidewalk. Is that what you're referencing?
Yes.
Exhibit 9, sheet C5. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. There were some concerns that were asked about noise that came from the neighbors. Subsequent to the study that we provided the county, the district initiated further study of the noise that was had potential to occur. So this was not something that was requested of the county that the district do, but they did. And we do have the findings of that study, and we can provide that for the record if Mr. Examiner would like that. The findings result in that there would be no noise impacts beyond the boundary that are above the code limits. The limits that are set by code.
And what is that code?
That's part of Kitsap County's code, their noise ordinance. Title 2? Title 10.
Well, but what are there specific decibel limits? Does it reference?
Yes.
Does it reference the state standards that are in the Washington Administrative Code?
I believe it does. I believe that's what it's based on.
Okay. And this is a study that was done recently, but we don't have it. Do we have it in the record?
It is not part of the record. No, it was not part of the record that was provided. This was done separately by the county or by the district.
Mm-hmm. And do you have a copy you could submit for this record?
I do.
If you would bring it forward to the clerk, to the hearing examiner, who will give it an exhibit number and then make it part of this record. Okay. Any other responses you have at this time?
No. If we could then speak to the drainage questions that were asked.
That would be fine. How do we refer to that exhibit that was just submitted?
The May 2016 noise study.
Oh, very recent. Okay. Thank you. And you have other copies of this, so typically, did you get a copy for the file? Okay. Thank you for doing that. Exhibit 31. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Examiner. My name is Doreen Gavin. I am a civil engineer, registered and licensed in Washington State. I am the design engineer of record for this project.
Okay.
And I will be addressing the comments in regards to drainage on this project site and offsite drainage. The project proposal includes on-site infiltration of stormwater. The stormwater system is designed to meet the Kitsap County Surface Water Management Manual. The major components include water quality treatment and then disposal of the stormwater through on-site infiltration. The designed storm event will provide for infiltration of the 100-year peak storm event and meets the duration standard of the ecology manual and the Kitsap County stormwater manual.
Okay. So your testimony is that there'd be no off-site stormwater flow anyway, from what we can tell. And what I want to ask you is, are you aware of the current conditions of the site and where any stormwater might flow? We heard testimony. This site's uphill from the drain field that's used by 10 sure. residents to the north.
Sure. I'll use this pointer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it doesn't work up there.
I think maybe they were using the mouse. It seemed to work.
That
is
works
that,
better.
Okay. It might.
Okay. So downslope or down gradient is property along the north mm-hmm. property line and also along our eastern property line. Currently, the site is forested, and so the predominant majority of storm water stays on the site. There is some storm water that could flow that I have noticed to the east, down the slope, but primarily we believe it's coming down along a water main trench. Where the land has been cleared and graded, and that provides a conduit for the stormwater to flow down to the east. The components of this project for water quality include bioretention facilities in the staff and visitor parking lot along the west. That stormwater then would infiltrate in underground chambers all located to the northwest of the proposed building. The east half of the building and the bus parking, that stormwater will be collected, travel through oil water separator, a pre-settling basin located on the northeast, and then a very long and linear infiltration basin. Extensive geotechnical testing was performed on this site to determine the appropriate location for a stormwater facility. Over a dozen test pits were dug on the property. The soils are varied between till and recessional outwash soils, so the sand soils were the suitable receptor for infiltration of stormwater. Those soils were located along the north property line.
And I want to ask, when you did those test sites, test holes to look at the soils, and also, I suppose it's level of percolability. I don't know if that's the right word, but how fast infiltration might occur. Does that give you any information on any hydraulic connectivity with any surface or underlying waters that might be under the north properties? You know what I'm trying to get at?
Right.
Because sometimes we see infiltration, but then we don't really see what happens once it's infiltrated. But your test pits may have identified what direction it moves. I think your testimony was most moves toward the east.
Correct.
But I don't think you do this, but if you did a dye test and you had a test pit on your property and then one on the north where these neighbors are concerned about flow into that area, would there be any?
So what I can do is refer you to the geotechnical report and mm-hmm. the report recommendations. It is Exhibit 17B, an appendix to the preliminary drainage report, and the conclusion from the geotechnical engineer states, the results of our study indicate that infiltration of stormwater in the manner proposed is feasible at the site and will not result in any hydrogeologic changes off-site or down gradient of the proposed infiltration areas.
Okay, so 100% infiltration.
Yes.
Okay, what page is that on? At the concluding page?
That is on page 15.
Okay.
Of the geotechnical engineering report dated February 2016. I would also like to just further clarify the question of why is the pond located at this location? And in earlier versions, before the extensive geotechnical work was done this winter, the pond was thought to be located more along the east property line. But based upon soil conditions found through the test pits and infiltration testing, the geotechnical engineer recommended the north property line as the preferred location for the pond.
Okay. Now, sometimes ponds have the backup of an overflow. If there is failure of infiltration due to clogged soils or because of exceptionally heavy rainfalls, what's the backup?
Okay. So there are two lines of defense. The first one is that there are correction factors that are built into the design infiltration rate. The geotechnical engineer performs a test. He obtains a design infiltration rate, and then he applies correction factors to reduce it. So when we size the pond, we're using a lower rate than was observed, and that is indicative of potential long-term, as you said, clogging that could occur.
Mm-hmm.
There also is an overflow that is built in that would activate if we had an event beyond the 100-year storm event, and that would take a pipe. It would overflow into a riser and be piped down the hill and put into a dispersal trench.
And you're indicating down the hill would be to the east.
To the east, about 100 feet to the east, mm-hmm. and still more than 100 feet from the property line. And any overflows then would be dispersed through a dispersal trench to simulate and mimic sheet flow as it disperses into the native vegetation.
Mm-hmm. And is part of the stormwater management plan to retain some mature trees on site?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the along the north property line, the west property line, and the 300-foot buffer to the east is the intent to retain the majority of the trees.
And is that because they can operate as kind of an uptake of stormwater?
Oh, absolutely.
And it's basically a storage system themselves?
Correct.
Okay. And then slow release with transpiration? Is that what happens?
Yes, through the vegetation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Evaporation and transpiration.
Okay. Well, thank you for that information.
I have one more item I wanted to address, and that was in response to the question about the construction impacts along Dickey Road.
Mm-hmm.
The water main in Dickey Road is adequate to serve the site. The only construction impact is a connection of a new water main near our north driveway. So we connect to the existing Silverdale water main in Dickey Road near the north driveway and then continue on site and around the building and connect back to a water main near the maintenance and operations facility.
So no need to close the road for
That's correct.
Installation?
Correct. There's currently a 5-foot wide gravel shoulder along the east side of Dickey Road, mm-hmm. and a curb gutter sidewalk will be installed at about that location.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Does the school district have anything else they wanted to offer at this time?
I would like to, hearing Examiner Hunter. First of all, we appreciate the opportunity to come today, and we do appreciate very much the neighbors taking time to come. And I want to assure folks that we have tried to be very sensitive, given the nature of the facility, to handling it and situating it in a manner which is hopefully the least impactful to their properties on many of the fronts that have been discussed today. The county had acted as lead agency on this, and we've been working with them to make sure that we're addressing that in an appropriate manner. I did want to mention just a couple of things on that point. I did have the opportunity at a couple of points along the way to talk to Mr. Koblen. He met with me, and I kept him updated as to development on the plan. And I also wanted to mention about the children walking in the woods, because I know there are some little cow tracks back there that they utilize. And we are there's some of those are being maintained, particularly from properties from the east that access Silverdale Elementary School. And we are incorporating means to have them be able to access from the Cascade neighborhood area to the south end of Silverdale Elementary so they don't have to access the street.
Mm-hmm.
But we do believe that the sidewalk will certainly be a benefit and improvements for the entire neighborhood in addition to children accessing. So I think those were the extent of what I wanted to mention.
Mm-hmm. So. Thank you. Yeah, thank you for being here. Robin Shoemaker was just testifying. Does that complete then your responses?
The traffic engineer is also here if you wanted to hear any more detail about the traffic study that was completed, some of the comments about cutting through on Northwest Cascade.
You know, I do want to hear more about that. I'm going to suggest something that we might do, and maybe, Shoemaker, do you want to return? Because I think you'll make the judgment call on this. It's a challenge to be a hearing examiner, to get all this information in one hearing, and then to make a decision that can be supported, legally defensible, and understandable to all that review it. And I appreciate that you're here as part of a school district. And that's a kind of a special applicant because school districts have such a unique function in this state. You know, it's the primary obligation is to fund schools. I have the highest respect for teachers, what an incredible job they do each day. And then for those that make facilities suitable for them. I mean, my goodness, let's get them out of portables and into suitable facilities. And part of that is providing adequate transportation and the type of proposal that you're here today to discuss. I think it's especially important since you're a public agency that there be full disclosure of information. I don't think I have enough information. And I don't want to go forward and issue a decision that says it's denied because I don't have enough information. I want to give an opportunity for you to return to the hearing room and provide the information that I need. We have a hearing scheduled here on June 9th. So it's not a lot of time, you know, between this meeting and that, so I don't think delay would be of concern. But specifically, I think you know the areas that we need more information on. And it's for me, it's for the surrounding neighborhood. And again, because of its a public nature as a school district and fitting into the existing neighborhood, I think is even of greater importance when we have a public proponent of a project. So what we really need to focus on is the, because I had the same questions about the bus idling and had actually a series of questions proposed about that that I wanted answers to. And you kind of heard them from neighbors, and you heard some of them earlier. But we need to take a closer look at that. You know, the evaluations, I didn't know if they were at the time of dispatch and return, how long they idle. You know, is it during refueling, washing, vacuuming, the maintenance aspects of the bus barn? Limiting to just the idling, or what about the driving in and out? The impact on traffic with other traffic. Now, your traffic study does look at 794 daily trips to and from the site. And the integration of the noise study with the traffic, because that's a significant amount of traffic. And I couldn't tell if the traffic is arriving from the employees at the same time buses would be leaving, or are they staggered so that it's not a PM peak hour, an AM peak hour, huge impact. Mm-hmm. You catch my drift.
I do.
So, you know, more information on that would help me to write a better decision. I think also might help some of the residents in the area that express those concerns today. So I don't want a prolonged hearing. I don't want to burden you with a whole lot of information, but that seemed key to me to look at the traffic study and how it integrates with the noise study and all the policies that we talked about. If we can see how that would actually be implemented, you know, it sounds pretty good. Sounds, I'm sorry for the pun there, but if it's seven buses and someone's actually enforcing that, then we can have some confidence. It's just hard for me to see how that would be applied. But you know you can get that information. So let's get it.
Yeah, and we're glad to come back on June 9th and provide that information. And I think it would be advisable to include our transportation director in management, because there may be other specific questions that come up that I would not be able to personally
That'd
answer.
Be really helpful. And I don't hold you at fault, because none of us knew what kind of concerns would come up. But because it's a conditional use permit, it really is important we address impacts on the neighborhood. The other area that I'm just lacking information on is that sound wall. And I think you can get that. You can show specifics on exactly where and what height. It's kind of on the site plan, but not to the level I'm confident referencing. So those are two of the areas. I think stormwater we did pretty well on, but now I turn to the neighbors, and they have an opportunity to review the information that was submitted here today. The file, Mr. Smith, I think is open for public review, isn't it? It is, and perhaps, Robert, you and maybe others would give your contact information to the neighbors so they can check in on any issues. Because my goal is to address neighborhood concerns before the next hearing, and that at the hearing I can hear this is how we are going to address concerns. But that takes some neighborhood coordination as well. And maybe amongst the neighbors there might be one or two individuals that can take the lead on that. And you can decide that. I know we're almost through the lunch hour. I'm sorry that I went this long. But today's a good time to exchange information. Is that something we could do, too?
Certainly. Certainly. As long as folks stick around so I can get
any neighbor that testified today that is interested in having ongoing information from the school district before the next hearing, make sure you give contact information. Name, email, probably the best. And that way, and I appreciate what you're willing to do, Robin Shoemaker, can keep you informed. Perhaps you want to see one of the studies. They're here at the county. You could respond to some questions that might be even more specific than what we heard today. And all of that can take place in the next couple of weeks. And then on June 9th, I hope we can have the concluding hearing with all the information that we need. Okay, it sounds like that makes sense to you.
It does, yes. Right. We want to make sure questions are answered for your benefit and certainly for the neighbors. So,
great, good. Well, then that's what we'll do. We're going to continue the hearing until 10. Is that their time? Okay. Well, maybe we can take this before at 9:30, perhaps?
I think that works.
Because I don't anticipate a lot of time. I'm hoping there's a lot that happens between now and then. So let's reconvene at 9:30, and we'll put this on the agenda for that time. Would that work for you? Oh. Okay, but the challenge is if I don't give a specific time, then we'd have to renotice. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is 9 o'clock workable?
It does work for us.
All right. Then that's what we'll do. We'll reconvene at 9 o'clock in this hearing room on this application. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, it's almost 1 o'clock, so we are going to adjourn for the day.